Father, Lord, as we come to adore you today. Lord, today to do that, we need to think more of you and less of us. Lord, we need to choose to surrender, to choose to believe, to follow what you have given us. And Lord, when we look at you, when we turn and see your goodness, when we see what you have done, Lord, we will see how good you are and how much you deserve our adoration. Lord, I pray that we would be found faithful to do that, to give you the praise, to follow you, and Lord, to see your work and will in our lives. Lord, now as we open up your word, God, speak to us. Lord, bring things fresh to us. Lord, help us to have open minds, open ears, open hearts for what your Spirit wants to do right now. May it be an act of worship as we listen and obey and follow you. For it's in your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. As you're being seated, our kids are going to be dismissed for Kids Connect. Just meet the teacher right down front. And this morning, let's take our Bibles to the book of John, chapter 1. Book of John, chapter number 1. As we are gearing towards Christmas, there's only so many Sundays we have left before Christmas, and it's a wonderful time for us to see the big picture of what God is doing and has done through the birth of the Savior, and to be reminded so much of these truths. I was, you know, talking with the men this morning in our prayer time of how sometimes, you know, Christmas and Easter can be difficult times to preach because they're the same stories. They haven't changed. There's no new element to the Christmas story that I can bring to you this morning. Nothing has changed in the 2,000 years since the birth of Christ. But yet, that same story should captivate us each and every year. That same story should bring a joy and a worship each and every time. And sometimes it's a challenge to bring new things out of these stories that we all know, because we can get very comfortable with stories and we can get very comfortable with understanding these things, and we can just slide by on our comfortability and what we know. You know, even in today, in our culture, in our world, I mean, we are living in a day and time with knowledge and different things that that you can go find things that you want. You can go get more knowledge and more things in the fingertips, at the touch of your fingertips than ever before. You know, I was thinking about when I was a little kid, and my dad would always find these really hard to find G.I. Joe vehicles. I had never seen them in a store, and in Christmas Day, there would always be this big surprise, something I'd never seen before. And I was like, man, Dad must have, you know, looked the internet to find that. Well, I know I'm young, but when I was a kid, there was no internet. There was no internet to go find that stuff. You know, he had to look in, you know, those things called catalogs and stuff like that, and, you know, phone books, you know, those old ancient things. We live in a day and time where knowledge has just seemed to increase, and we can go and we can Google stuff, and we can ask Siri, and we can do all those different things and find all this information real quick and be pointed to websites and be pointed to phone numbers and all these different things. But yet, we still should be captivated by the revelation of Jesus Christ, of what he's done for us. You know, this year on the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, they talked about a new camera system that they used. Verizon put out a 360 cameras throughout the parade route. And if you were watching it through the 360 camera, you could take and drag your screen and look all the way around the parade route. A new vantage point. Something that had never been tried before. And now you can go and it's like you are standing right there and you could see the buildings behind you. You could see the parade coming down the street. You could see where it's going. You could see all this and you could drag up and you could drag down. You could see all these different things. It was this new vantage point. So whether or not you were there, you could see all this. I want to tell you, you know what? God is good because He gave us a vantage point. He gave us something that us 2,000 years removed from the birth of Christ, that He gave us a vantage point that said, this is what it was like to be there. This is what it was like to experience that. This is what it's like to see this. And not only that, this is what I want you to see from it. Here in John chapter 1, we get the prologue here in this first chapter of what John's about to write in this gospel. And the gospel of John is incredible about its picture of who Jesus Christ is. It's presenting Christ as the Son of God. It has themes of belief. If you read through the book of John, you will find believe in it time and time again because John wants his readers to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. When someone first comes to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, the Gospel of John is a great place for them to start to read the Bible because they get to see Jesus in incredible light and see John's portrayal of Jesus and who He was. And all of that starts with this prologue here in John chapter 1 where John gets to reveal who this Jesus is. This morning I've entitled the message Revealing Christmas because here we see in John chapter 1 kind of a different vantage point about the Christmas story. A different vantage point of who Jesus was. It's like John is saying, hey, I want you to step back, step up here with me, and I want to show you a little bit about all of this. Read with me here in John chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. It says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of the men. The light shines in darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through Him, yet the world did not know Him. He came to His own, and His own people did not receive Him. But to all who did receive Him, who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen His glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about Him and cried out, this is He of whom I said, He who comes after me ranks before me because He was before me. For from His fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God, who is at the Father's side. He has made Him known. John is saying, step back. And I want to show you a vantage point of who this Jesus is. I want to reveal to you about this Jesus. And he begins his gospel with those words that take us back to Genesis. In the beginning. In the beginning, where this all begins, all of this starts In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. And in this, we begin to see this revelation of who this Jesus was. As Jesus is being called here, the Word, the Logos, the communication that we are seeing through Jesus Christ. And in this revelation, I want you to see three things about what God is revealing at Christmas. Three things about Himself. The first thing we see is that God communicates. God communicates. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. You know, this verse was always one of those really interesting verses to start with in Scripture memory to get it all just right. What all is He saying? The Word was God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and getting it all in the right star, in the right spot, in the right places. But what is He saying? Here we are seeing the identity that He is giving us of Jesus Christ and how God is using that identity to communicate. In the beginning was the Word. This brings us back to the idea that in the beginning that God spoke into existence. That God spoke. The idea is ex nihilo. He created out of nothing. And out of this nothing, God spoke and it was there. God spoke and there was light. God spoke, there was darkness. God spoke, there was the earth. God spoke, there were animals. God spoke, there was man. All of this through God's Word. And we know here that He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him. Through Jesus Christ, through this Word. And notice here about identity. When we think about identity, you know, we can use to be verbs. So we can say, you know, that person is this. You know, for me in high school, it was that person is slow. All right. He is not fast. And, you know, when they took pictures for the track team and the football coaches made me play track and do that and go through all that misery and they came out to take pictures of the track team. And in my yearbook, there's a picture of the track team and these guys running, sprinting. And way in the back is Lyle. Way back here. You know, so when we think of identity, we think to be. He is this. Well, notice the identity here. He was God. The Word was God. He's identifying Jesus as God. But not only that, notice the relationship aspect too. When we say with relationship, that person is with that person. Lyle's married to Nicole. He's with Nicole. Here you see this as well in the relationship. That Word was with God. And all of these aspects are pulling together who this Jesus was. He was in the beginning. He was at the beginning. He was with God. He was in relationship with God as part of the Trinity. And He was God as one in the Trinity. We're seeing this identity, this revelation of who He is, and being compared to and being used in this idea of the Word, we are seeing that Jesus is the one that is communicating what God would have for us. Jesus speaks, and it embodies God's Word. He is the Word of God. We can think about what someone says and we can think about someone's word and their word can be differentiated from them. But when we understand it coming from them, we realize it came from them. That this word came from that person. This word was with God. It's a part of Him. It's who He is and it's embodying Him. So we are seeing this identity of who this Jesus is. And when God speaks, He is speaking through Jesus, and we see when Jesus speaks, He's embodying what God is trying to communicate to us. So all of this, we are seeing in the beginning, as John is starting off there, he is giving us a lot of doctrine. He's given us a lot of theology right here in this first verse, because he wants us to see that God communicates. God is speaking. He has given us His Word. And when we come to this Christmas time, we need to understand that God is speaking to us. It's not about all the peripheral. It's about the fact that God is communicating to us because He gave us His Word. But yet we seem to look for a word from God in everything but His Word. We seem to look for a word from God from every little other detail of this life except from His Word. We'll spend 10 minutes searching through Facebook to find a meme to communicate something about God instead of searching 10 minutes in His Word to read about God. God is communicating through His Word, and He's communicating to us through Jesus. Jesus says in John 5:39, He says, "Search the Scriptures. In them you have life, but these are they that testify of Me." On the road to Emmaus, He began with Genesis, and He started through the Word of God and taught them all the things concerning Himself. When we are looking at this in Christmas time and we are thinking about this, the birth of a Savior, we can know that this was God's Word, God's communication that was coming to us. And what is that communication? In verse 4, "In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." I don't know about you, but we could preach on those first five verses pretty well, couldn't we? God has communicated to us, and what has He communicated? That there is life through His Word, and darkness is not going to overcome it. Those dark days that you have, those dark days that are coming, doesn't change who Jesus is. His communication has come. God has revealed. He is communicating to us through Jesus Christ, and He is communicating life and light through Jesus. So God communicates. The next thing we see is that God engages. In verse 9, "The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world." Here we have God's communication coming to us. He is giving us Jesus Christ, this one that is coming to bear and to be the one that He has sent for us. He was coming into the world. And then notice what happens. He was in the world. The world was made through Him, yet the world did not know Him. He came to His own, and His own people did not receive Him. Can we not just say that that is a sad commentary? He came to His own, and they did not receive Him. I think it's a warning for all of us to understand this great theology that we've seen in the first part. Now we need to understand as God is engaging and He's sending His Son into the world, don't be like those that don't receive it. Don't be like the world. And we see the idea of the world used throughout Scripture. John uses it a lot here in the Gospel. He uses it a lot in his letters in 1 John. The idea of the world is that was without the Lord. The world that's really set up and maintained and run by even principles that we see of the prince of the power of the air. We see through Satan. But yet here God is engaging. He is sending His Son into the world. Because notice verse 14, "And the Word became flesh, and He dwelt among us. We have seen His glory, glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." God has engaged. He has sent His Son to become flesh, to be a part of us. And notice there, to dwell among us. The word "dwelling" here is actually producing a picture back to Exodus. And you're like, oh man, he's going to find a way to go back to this Exodus series right here, right? He is picturing the dwelling of the glory of God in the tent, in the tabernacle that we're going to see in the book of Exodus. where the glory of God would reside in the camp, the doxa, the glory of God would reside in that place. And they would know that the presence of God was in that tent, in that dwelling place. Here we see the Word has become flesh, and now He is dwelling, He's residing, He's living among us. God did not leave us alone. He has engaged us through His Word that He sent to become flesh, His only Son. God did not give us the second rate. God gave us His best. He gave us His Son. He sent Him to be us, to engage in us, and to show us and engage with us God's glory. When we think of this time at Christmas, we have the opportunity to remember that God did not just send some aspect. He sent His very best. To live in this world, to engage this world who would not know Him. This Christmas we can celebrate because God has engaged us. He has sent His Son to become flesh, to be with us. He's communicated. He's engaging. And then thirdly, we see that God has revealed. And God reveals. The Word's become flesh. He's dwelling among us. But notice there it says, full of grace and truth. Verse 16, for from His fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God, who is at the Father's side. He has made Him known. God has revealed to us. Verse 18 really gives us the picture. No one has ever seen God, the only God. This is the idea that we've seen even back throughout the Old Testament. No one can see and look upon God and live because of His glory, because of His holiness, because of His purity. Only Moses, he gets that opportunity to see God just pass by. And that physically changed Moses. Coming down the mountain, radiating the glory of God. It's like one of those really bad sunburns, you know, that you can just feel the heat coming off. Except this was the glory of God that was coming off. Can you imagine the presence of God so much in your life that when you're walking around, people can just feel the glory of God radiating off your life? God has revealed the glory through Jesus Christ, because no one has ever seen God. And then we notice that statement, except the only God who is at the Father's side. This is going back to what we see in verse 1. This is the Word that was with God, who is at the Father's side, the presence of who Jesus was there, not thinking it robbery to be equal with God. The one that was at God's side is now here, dwelling among us. And He is making Him known. You see, when John is writing all this, so that when he writes John 3:16, people can see that this was the God that was with God, that was at the right hand of God. And so when he is telling Nicodemus these different truths, that you must be born again, that you must to see the kingdom, and he's telling these different truths all throughout this book, he can go back to this prologue to say, this is the one who was there. This is the one who was God, who was with God, who was there, and he is revealing to us his glory. This isn't just some third party on the outside. This is first person, right in line with who God is, revealing it because he was there. I have two older brothers. And my oldest brother is 11 years older than me. My next brother, the middle brother, the redheaded middle brother, he actually is redheaded, so it plays out pretty right. He's 7 years older than me. And so those two guys, they grew up a lot together. You know, I'm the perfect child, also known as the baby, that came along ready when, you know, my parents decided to perfect, you know, they have me. And so there's all these stories of my older brothers and the different exploits and the different things that they did. And the stories of Lance and Lee and growing up. And it's a lot of fun to hear the stories told and to try to tell the story. You know, of course, you know, my parents lived in Bedford and they had an above ground pool in the backyard. And when it actually got cold enough, it froze over. And so my oldest brother, Lance, was really curious. And he got up on the ladder and he's looking over and he's looking, you know, trying to touch the ice. And there's Lee at the bottom of the ladder with that big smile on his face. And my dad says, "Lee, don't you do it." That didn't stop him. And he reaches up, shoves Lance right, boom, breaks through the ice into the cold water of the pool. I love those stories. It's great to hear all those stories. But you know what's even better? That's part of it. But it's also better when I get to hear Lance and Lee tell it. Because they were there. When I hear Lance and Lee, when we have a chance to get together, all of us, and to sit there and to go through those stories, and you know, the camaraderie there, and I get to hear them tell those different stories, and to see them just start dying laughing. To see them go through that, and you see their faces light up, and to hear all the extra little embellishments that they like to add into it. It's always something that brings more vividness. You see, God is bringing the vividness through Jesus Christ because he's the one who was there. He was at the right hand at the Father's side. He is the one who is making him known. It is Jesus Christ that is revealing to us who God is. He's revealing to us God's glory. And the wonderful thing in revealing Christmas, God's communicating, God's engaging us, he's becoming flesh, God's revealing through Jesus Christ. And what did he reveal? That I've sent my son to die on a cross for you. That my glory that I am revealing to you through Jesus Christ, this grace upon grace, is so that you would know that, yeah, the serpent might bite, but here's the heel that's going to crush it. Here's Jesus Christ and his glory that's going to provide for us. And we get to see, and we see it revealed for us this Christmas, that the glory of the Father is to rescue us. That he sent his word, his son, into this world to become flesh, to engage us so that he might send him to die. Because that's the words we see in 1 John chapter 4. Where John says this in 1 John 4 verse 7. "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. Whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us." Made manifest. It was made real. It was made tangible. It was made visible among us that God sent his only son into the world so that we might live through him. And this is love. Not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation, to be that payment for our sins. Loved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. The glory of God has come to rescue us. That was his plan from the start. From Genesis 3:15, that first gospel pronunciation, that he is coming to crush the head. You might bite the heel, but he's going to crush the head. is the gospel pronunciation of Jesus Christ, that He is going to come and His love for us is going to take away the sins of the world. Christmas is the revealing of the love of God through Jesus Christ. And the glory of God is that He sent Him to rescue us. So this Christmas, when we are in the midst of all the different tasks, all the different places, all the different things, I pray that we can slow down enough to give the praise to Jesus, because He was the communication from God. He was the engagement to us from God, to reveal to us from God. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but has everlasting life. The baby in the manger might be a cute story, but it's so much more. Because it is revealing to us the glory of the Father, and that glory is that He sent Jesus to die for. That is what we get to praise today. That's why we come to adore Him. Shall we stand? As we stand with our heads bowed, you know, there's always a turning point in our life, where we go from the kids at Christmas to the adults at Christmas. And we realize that the joy that we thought we had as kids at Christmas, and the presents and the gifts and the activities, is only elevated when we're the adults at Christmas. And we get to give. And we get to see our kids light up. And we get to see joy. Understand that God is communicating to us through Jesus Christ. This is my love for you that I love to give Him to you. So that your sins might be paid for. So that darkness that overwhelms your life might be overcome by the light of Jesus Christ. This morning, as we come to this time of response, if you do not know that rescue, if you do not know that light in your life, this morning I want you to know that Jesus has come for you. And we would love to show you how to make that personal, how to make that real in your life. In this time of response, in just a moment, we're going to sing. And as we sing, I'm going to be right down front. Brother Andrew's going to be right here. And if you need to know Jesus personally, if you need that life in your life, please meet us right down here. We would love to show you. This morning, if you know that light in your life, can I ask you to take this time as we sing in response, as we sing, turn your eyes upon Jesus, to look away from the distractions, to look away from everything else, and to look to what God is communicating to us through the One who was there. Maybe in this time, put aside those other things and look to the Word for what God would have for you. But as we sing in this time, maybe you're there praying where you're at, when you're praying at the altar, whatever God might lay on your heart, whatever it may be, may we turn and look at Jesus, the light of life. Our Father, I pray now that you would use this time. Lord, use it in our hearts, use it in our lives, Lord, to get rid of the staleness, to see the freshness of who you are. Help us, Lord, to give you the glory and work now through your Spirit. For it's in your name we pray. Amen.